I hope that you all had a good day as my family and I had. We took off up to the square and ate at that, I can't remember the name of it, the Mexican restaurant up on the square. That's one of our favorite spots to go on Sunday. And just had the whole family up there, and it was a lot of fun, a lot of fun. Well, I promised that we'd be talking about circles tonight. I'm not going to be talking about circular logic or circular reasoning. I'm not going to be talking about things like that. I'm going to talk from Scripture, and we're going to start from Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 will be our text this evening. We're going to look at a few verses in this chapter, specifically verses 12 through 15 to begin with. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Measured heaven with a span. Who has done this? And calculated the dust of the earth in a measure. Who can calculate that? Weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Anybody do that? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Watch verse 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket. Did you know that was in the Bible? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket, are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing. Verse 17, all nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. Verse 22, it is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. Verse 28, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. This passage contains quite a bit of information about the power of God and how God views those who would oppose him, how God sees those who would stand against him. If someone doubts God, doubts his power, doubts his wisdom, doubts his design, and there are many who do. There are many who reject God as the creator. They claim the earth came about by a natural process, the Big Bang, as it were. Now, most legible or legitimate scientists today have obviously ruled out the Big Bang theory. Otherwise, to remodel your house, all you need is a case of dynamite. There's just no logic to that at all, that disorder can somehow create order. It just doesn't make sense. And you can do it for millions of years, every day, once a day, for millions of years, and it will never create anything. All it does is make chaos. And so there's no sense in the illogic of just accidental creation or accidental coming to life. It is by design. It is by, I lost my word. Intelligent design. Intelligent design. There is no way that one can measure this earth. People have tried. I've heard people say that they can tell you how much the earth weighs. What they weigh it on? I don't understand that. How can you calculate how much the earth weighs? Well, you know, it's a number, and they have no one that can challenge them on it, so that's how they can say that. Now, I'm going to refer back to that later in this lesson, not the weight, but throwing out a number and not being able to be challenged on it, because this is a common practice of those who reject God, a common practice. But the thing of it is, this phrase, a drop in the bucket, a drop in a bucket, that, you know, we've heard that all of our lives. It's become a proverb for us. Oh, that's just a drop in the bucket. Well, there's where that came from, right there in Isaiah chapter 40. Now, what I'd like for you to consider also is the statement in Psalm 93, verse 1. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also established that it cannot be moved. God has set things in order. He has created order in our universe. And much of that order is circular. Much of that order is based on the simple circle. Now, we have lots of geometric designs in the universe. Snowflakes are filled with all kinds of geometric designs. Same with crystals. You look at crystals and you see some amazing patterns that take place. Geometric designs in crystals. When you look at the triangle, the rectangle, the star, the circle stands as unique in all those. For it has no corners. It is something that starts and ends in the same place, the circle. Well, that's the way so much of life is. So much of it is patterned after the circle. I want you to think of the many circular things in the various spheres of life. See what I did there? I hope you caught that. All right, tonight I want to touch on three general circles. We're going to deal with the physical, the moral, and the spiritual. Okay? When we talk about physical, all heavenly bodies are round. All of them. All of them. There's not a square heavenly body out there. There's not a triangular heavenly body out there. And no, kids, stars are not shaped like that. That's not how stars are shaped. They are round. And they all travel in circles. Every one of them travels in circles. That's just the way it is. That's the way the heavens move. And they are set up for signs and seasons that come around each year. And this is something that was designed in creation. When God made the sun, the moon, and the stars, he set them in the heavens so that they would be signs for seasons and for years. So we could tell time based on the movement of the heavenly bodies. That's the reason they are. Do you know why God put all that stuff out there in space? It's a clock and a calendar. That's what it is. God is the one who created the first clock and the first calendar. And that's what those things are there for. They're there for us to be able to measure the passing of our lives. That's what they're there for. Well, you've got people today that talk about global warming. Global warming. And now they don't want to use that term. They want to use the term climate change. And if we have a cold spell, they will say it's due to the warming of the earth. Really? How does that work? All right, I want to share something with you. I've been doing some research this week on global warming, and it is one of the funniest things I've ever read. It really is. It's sad that kids are taught this in school as though it's facts, and we listen to the news media, and they tell these statements, and they make these projections as though they have hard evidence to back it up, when it's nothing more than political agenda, nothing more than fluff and made up statistics. Now I'm going to tell you something. This earth used to be a lot cooler than it is right now. It did. The Tennessee River used to freeze over. It did. Before the dams were put in, and the river was just its normal, it used to freeze over. Here in Alabama, it used to freeze over, where you could actually cross the river on without a bridge. It did. It used to freeze up. I remember even in my younger days when we had snow every year. Every year. And some of you do too. And now we don't get snow very often. You know what's going to happen? One of these days, we're going to start getting a lot more snow. You notice how some years you get a lot of rain and some years you don't? You notice that? Have you noticed how some years you can have a bumper crop of cotton or corn or wheat, and then other years not so good, not so hot? Okay? And the hot weather comes and the hot weather goes. Can people not figure out that the climate on this earth is on a cycle. Can they not figure that out? The earth warms up, the earth cools down. The earth warms up, the earth cools down. It may be 100 years, it may be 150 years, but the earth warms up and the earth cools down. And that's just the way it is. Now, one of the big arguments that they make about climate change is the loss of the rainforests. That one reason why the earth, the polar ice caps are melting, those poor polar bears that can swim 60 miles are drowning because they don't have ice to get on. They can swim 60 miles. So don't be saying that their poor polar bears are drowning. They're not drowning. There's plenty of ice in the polar ice caps. But we do see some melting. And guess what? In time, we'll see some more freezing too. That's just the way it is. But the deforestation, the Amazonian rainforests, there are all kinds of projections. There's like the equivalent of 4 football fields per second being cut down in the Amazon rainforest. Yeah, that's what they're saying. Others are saying it's 8 football fields a minute being cut down in the Amazonian rainforest. Oh my, that's terrible. Do you know what happens when you clear cut a piece of land here in Alabama? Do you know what happens to that land in, say, 10 years? It's hard to walk on it. Why? Because of all the plants that have come up in that land. When you cut down trees, the ground has not changed and the plants come back. In our country, when they cut timber off of a piece of land, most companies replant trees because that's in their best interest. They will try to replant 2 trees for every one they cut because that's in their best interest for more and more lumber, more and more building material, and the earth just keeps growing more trees. So every time they cut land, boom, there it is. Also, the man who started Greenpeace, I can't call his name right now, I didn't write it down, I should have, but the man who started Greenpeace, he became world famous for holding a baby seal and was arrested by Canadian authorities for defying their orders to put that seal down so that the men could kill it for its fur, okay, for its coat. Okay, and he refused to do it. This is the same guy that started Greenpeace, and he brought to light about some of the horrors of the whaling industry and the killing of the seals and that sort of thing for commercial purposes and all this. So, you know, but he left that organization and left that movement, and he has exposed much of the goofiness about the global warming mythology. And he has made it very clear that no more than 10% of the tropical rainforest in the Amazon has been cleared. And what happens is they burn that all the time to keep it from growing back. They're trying to settle that land. They're trying to grow crops on that land. They're trying to build communities in some of that land. Most rainforest is not habitable by humans throughout this whole world. Wherever there's rainforest, most of it is not even habitable by humans. And where they have cleared, they talk about fires and burning off 400,000 acres. That's just not true. That's just not true. They're burning stuff just to try to keep the rainforest from reclaiming it. Rainforests grow back. They grow back. All right, another ridiculous statement. 50,000 species in the rainforest will go extinct. 50,000 species. Can they name one and ask about it? No, we can't name one. We don't know which ones they are. Well, then where do you get that figure? They just made it up. That's very convenient, isn't it? That's the convenient truth, to quote the other side. That's the convenient truth. There's no reality to this stuff about global warming or climate change or deforestation or our footprint is destroying the atmosphere and the earth. Oil spills. Here's another thing. Oil spills go right back to the ocean. What is oil? It is organic matter. It is decomposed organic matter. That's what it is. And what happens when it's exposed to the ocean? Salt water dissolves it and it goes right back to the natural elements. And yes, if you got enough water in your lungs, you would drown. And yes, if birds get too much of this oil on their feathers, they're going to die. But it's not going to make the whole species go extinct. And in a little while, that oil is going to go right back to nature where it came from, and life will go on. So yeah, it's a tragic thing when oil spills happen and it kills a lot of little animals and it damages the landscape for a little while, but that landscape recovers and the animals go on living. Oil goes back to its natural state. But see, all this stuff, they're trying to deny the order of creation. They're trying to make man think that we are the big evil in the world and that we've got to deny ourselves conveniences and progress and all of that in the hope of them getting rich and us working for them, basically what it boils down to. Now, to deny God's order in the universe is to deny the very source of our life. It's to deny the very source of our existence. Our bodies came from the dust, and they will return to the dust. Genesis 2 and 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. All flesh shall perish together, a man shall turn again unto dust. Job 34, verse 15. Disney's The Lion King quoted the phrase, the circle of life, and that's basically what it is. We are born, we live, we die. It comes full circle. It comes full circle. So when we talk about plants, you plant a seed, it grows into a living plant. At some point that plant will die, but it produces more seed, which will then, when planted, grow and reproduce life. And it's just a continual circle of the physical world. All right? Then we talk about the moral principles of the circle. It's simple. It's really simple. Things always come home to roost. What is that? Well, Galatians 6:7 is the law of sowing and reaping, isn't it? Whatever you sow, that you will also reap. So if you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. That's what Jesus said. The way you live is the way you're going to die. And if you live a life of evil, of disregard for God and disregard for God's plan, God's order, you're going to reap that throughout your life. Whatever you sow, you will also reap. Somebody once said, what goes over the devil's back comes back up under his belly. Now, I don't quite get that one, but that's an old proverb from the hills where I grew up. Another one, Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Now, there's a positive and a negative to that. A man that has friends must basically be a friend, and it means, in its purest sense, you don't have any standards. You're going to do whatever is necessary in order to have those friends. That's obviously a negative quality. But at the same time, the positive quality, if you want people to be friendly toward you, what do you need to do toward them? Be friendly! Be friendly! So there's some common sense in that. This circle, you can see it. If you are unkind and you mistreat people, the same is going to come back to you. That's just the way it goes. That's the moral principle. Now let's talk about the spiritual circle. In Matthew 7, 1 and 2, Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. God said, unless you forgive, you will not be forgiven. It's that simple. So when we talk about the circle of spirituality, the circle that is of the spiritual world, we're looking at what goes around comes around. It's still the same thing. And God will use the same judgment on us that we use toward others. This is why we must not try to judge people's hearts. Now, the Bible says in the same chapter in Matthew 7, you will know them by their fruit. A good tree does not produce corrupt fruit. A good spring does not give bad water. You will know them by their fruit. So if someone is claiming to be a Christian, but they're living like the devil, then you can obviously conclude they ain't quite got that yet. They're not quite what they claim they are. It's not that ungodly to do. In fact, it's expected of us. Saints will judge the world. And it's not that we're going to pass judgment, but by the fact that we're serving the Lord, that in and of itself is going to judge the world. That's going to declare to the world that you haven't lived right before God. In verse 2, you again will receive the same measure that you give to others. One of the big problems with the children of Israel in the Old Testament was in the marketplace, they used an unfair scale. They would have their scale was off. And they did it on purpose so it served them better. It would weigh things, if they were buying, it would weigh things lighter than they actually were. That way they didn't have to pay as much. And if they were selling, it would weigh things more than what the actual weight was. The scales were not accurate. And they did it on purpose to try to make more money. They were being dishonest. God says that's going to come back on you. That will come back on you. When it comes to giving, God says give and it will be given to you. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give unto your bosom. How many of y'all like going to Cream Delight? You don't raise your hand because, man, you won't be able to put it down. Cream Delight's a great place, isn't it? Now, it's not as good as it used to be, I'll just be honest with you. They've gone down a little bit. But still, that's a great place to go after church. Go get you some ice cream. Now, I don't get the cone anymore. I can't have that. But I get the cup. And you know what I tell them? When they take that machine and they take that cup, and some of them, they'll take that cup and they'll swirl it around and around and around, leave a big old hole in the middle, and just make that cup look full when it got a big old hole in the middle. Not with me, you don't. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to pack that thing down. I want you to bump it, shake that thing down, pack it down in there. If I'm paying for a full cup of ice cream, I want a full cup of ice cream. I don't want to pay for a hole. Now, if you're buying a donut, you have to pay for a hole. I understand that. But not with a cup of ice cream, right? That's just wrong. Well, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. If you give like God wants you to give, God's going to give back to you many times over that. And He's going to use men to do it. He's going to use men to do it. The great givers throughout history have made this statement repeatedly. You can't outgive God. How true. And so the law of sowing and reaping applies here just as much as it does to the physical and to the moral. In Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. Now listen, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. My friends, if we sow to the Spirit, if we put our energy, our time, our love, our sweat, our blood, our money, our lives into the Spirit, into doing that which God has directed us to do, God is going to bless us with everlasting life. He's going to bless us in this life and with everlasting life on top of that. Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. All things go back from where they came. All things go back from where they came. The body ultimately will return to the dust from whence it came. And the spirit goes back to God. And God will do something with that spirit that comes back to Him. Are you listening? God will do something with it. It doesn't go on a shelf. It's not like Indiana Jones and the Well of Souls, where only God only made so many souls and He puts those souls in a body, and then when that body dies, He gets the soul back and puts it on a shelf till it's needed again and fills up. No. No, God's going to do something with those souls that come to Him. When they come to God, they're going to be judged. They're going to be judged based on the life they lived while in this body. Now, your body is not you. And this is something we've got to get across to people. Your body is not who you are. Your soul is who you are. That's the part of you that's going to live on. And if this body were to decay and rot and go back to the dust, you're still going to be you. You're still going to be you. You're not going to be somebody else. You're still going to be you. Your life, your memories, your experiences, what you have learned, what you have done, that's still who you are. That's still who you are. And you're going to live forever somewhere, either in heaven with God or in hell with the devil. That's the choice that we have before us. Ecclesiastes 12:7, then the dust shall return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. And there God will determine what shall be done with that spirit. Will that person join me in heaven? Or will that person be cast into the outer darkness of hell itself to dwell there forever with Satan and those who follow him in agony and suffering, in eternal punishment and eternal separation from God? There's the circle of life, the ultimate circle of life. So when we think about the physical world and those who would try to deny God, and they use all kinds of craziness to try to justify their position, but when you look at the order of life, the circles that God put in this universe, the circles of life, you can't deny intelligent design. It's there. The physical world, it's there. And then when you look at the morality of life, the way you treat people, ultimately that's how you're going to be treated. And the Lord has called us to a higher calling, hasn't he? He's called us not to treat people the way they treat us. He's called us to treat people the way we want to be treated. And regardless of how they treat us, we're to treat them the way we want to be treated. That's the golden rule. And that's the higher calling that God has called us to, as a moral principle. And it will pay dividends too, for what you sow, you will also reap. And then when we come to the spiritual circle, it's all about the commitment you make. If you make a commitment to live for yourself, then you will lose your life. Your life will be cursed and not blessed. But if you make a commitment to serve the Lord, to live for him, God is going to bless you abundantly with good measure, shaken together, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom in this life and in the world to come, eternal life. That's what you have to look forward to if you give your life and your heart over to God. If you follow the Spirit, if you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. There is the ultimate circle of life. So there's the lesson on circles. I hope it's been enlightening. I hope you've seen circumspectly this entire concept. And I hope it helps you to serve the Lord. As you consider your life, your relationship with God, I encourage you, make sure that you're right with him. Make it a point to serve him today and every day that you live. If you're not a Christian, if you believe Jesus is the Son of God, then turn from your sins in repentance to commit your life to his service. Confess the sweet name of Jesus. Be buried with him in baptism, the point at which the blood of Jesus will wash your sins away. And God will raise you up to walk in newness of life. That's what you must do if you want to be saved. And then having done that, if you've not been faithful to your Lord, we invite and encourage you to come back home to him while you can, before it's too late. Rededicate your life to him and follow through. Walk with Jesus so that one day you can walk in his presence. The lesson's yours. What will you do?